So in paragraph 40, what is originated by temperature? And it is said that it is 15-fold. And in the manual of Abhidhamma, only 13 are mentioned, so without growth and continuity. And then what is originated by nutriment, that is temperature as its condition. The temperature originated nutritive essence that has reached pre-nascence originates a further octet with nutritive essence as eight and so on. Now, did you wonder why the words that has reached presence, that has reached presence, are mentioned again and again? Now, when consciousness or mind produces matter, it produces at the arising moment, because it is said to be strong at the arising moment. But matter is strong only at the presence moment. And that is why it is repeatedly said, that has reached presence, that has reached presence, and so on. So, the matter can produce matter only when it reaches the stage of presence, not at the arising moment or not at the dissolution moment, but only when it is presence. Now, comprehension of the immaterial. So after comprehending or contemplating on the rupa, a yogi must contemplate on nama, or what is immaterial. So just as one who is comprehending the material should see the generation of the material or arising of the material, so do one who is comprehending the immaterial should see the generation of the immaterial. And that is through the 81 mundane arisings of consciousness. That is to say, it is by karma accumulated in a previous becoming that this immaterial mentality is generated, and so on. So, when the arising of mentality is observed, then it should be observed by way of 81 mundane types of consciousness. There are 89 types of consciousness, and 8 belong to supramundane. And supramundane consciousness are not the object of vipassana meditation. So the only the mundane consciousness are given here. The modes in which it is generated should be understood according to the method given in the description of the dependent origination. So in that chapter, how the mind arises is given. That same 19-fold arising of consciousness is generated as like continuum as well, and so on. Now among the 89 types of consciousness, there are 19 types of consciousness which arise as relinking, life continuum, and death consciousness. So these 19 are mentioned here. Then in the course of an existence, I consciousness, together with its associated states, supported by light and caused by attention, is generated because the I is intact, and because visible data have come into focus. Now, paragraph 44, right? So here we get the four conditions for the seeing consciousness to arise. Now, in the course of an existence, that is after relinking, I consciousness, together with its associated states, that means together with the mental factors, supported by light, so there must be light, and caused by attention, there must be attention, is generated because the I is contact, there must be the I, and the I is intact, there must be the I, and because visible data have come into focus, so there must be a visible data. So only when these four conditions are fulfilled can seeing consciousness arise. So we must have the eye, there must be something to see, there must be light, and there must be attention. And then there is the explanation of something like a thought process. Next to arise is a functional mind element with that same object accomplishing the function of advaiting and so on. So this is the explanation of a thought process. Oh. At the bottom of the page, we have some correction to make. Kinds of consciousness belonging to the sense sphere, either as consciousness accompanied by equanimity and without root cause, or as five or seven impulsions. Even the text in the Visuddhimagga is misleading, a little misleading, difficult to understand. What is meant here is, say, our function next, it is generated either as one from among the profitable, unprofitable, or functional kinds of consciousness belonging to the sense sphere, as five or seven impulsions. We should put there, as five or seven impulsions. So after the word sphere, we should say S, five or seven impulsions. And then the word either should be deleted. Ah, yes. Instead of it, we should say all. So all S consciousness accompanied by equanimity and without root cause. Just that. And the other words are to be deleted, or as five or seven impulsions. You know five or seven impulsions, right? Normally seven jhanas arise. But in some cases, when a person has fainted or something, there are only five moments of jhana. So sometimes five, sometimes most of the time, seven. So five or seven impulsions. But sometimes the object is so weak that it cannot be a condition for jhana to arise. But that is also called a thought process. So there are thought processes without the arising of jhana. And when it says consciousness accompanied by equanimity without root cause, the other means that. That is why in the footnote it is said this refers to determining. Now, in a thought process, there is, say, accepting, receiving, investigating, determining, and jhana, right? Now, some thought processes can stop just after determining. They do not contain any jhana moment. So the author is referring to that when he says the consciousness accompanied by equanimity and without root cause. That means manodhara, vajana, or vatapana. They determine. So not all or not every thought process contains jhanas. There can be thought processes without jhanas. Now, material sectors. Now, this is how one accomplishes the development of understanding, progressing gradually by comprehending at one time the material and at another time the immaterial, by attributing the three characteristics to them. So he should always attribute three characteristics to what he observes, the impermanence, painful, and not self. Another comprehends formations by attributing the three characteristics to them through the medium of material sceptre and the immaterial sceptre. So, viewing matter in seven different ways, and viewing mind in seven different ways. Now, the first is viewing matter in seven different ways. And these are given in paragraph 46. as taking up and putting down, as disappearance of what grows cold in each stage, as arising from nutriment, as arising from temperature, as karma born, as consciousness originated, and as natural materiality. Hence the ancient said, number one, taking up is rebirth linking and putting down is death. So, as taking up and putting down means beginning and the end of one's life. Taking the one life as one unit, something like that. So, when he comprehends, according to this method, he comprehends all formations between all nama and rupa between relinking and death. So he contemplates on the nama and rupa from the moment of relinking to death as impermanent. And why? Because of occurrence of rise and fall, because of change, because of temporariness, and because of preclusion of permanence. Now please note these explanations. These are the reasons for taking something as impermanent. Now these nama and rupa, these rupa are impermanent because the occurrence of rise and fall, because they have rising and disappearing, because of change, because they change, because of temporariness, they are just temporary, they don't last long, and because of preclusion of permanence, that means because of rejection of permanence, they are not permanent. But since arisen formations have arrived at present, and when present are afflicted by aging, and on arriving and aging are bound to dissolve, they are therefore painful because of continual oppression, because of being hard to bear, because of being the basis of suffering, and because of precluding pleasure. Now this is the four reasons why something is called suffering or pain or dukkha. So what is the first one? Because of continual oppression by rising and disappearing, because of being hard to bear, something painful is hard to bear, because of being the basis of suffering, sometimes it is the basis for another suffering, and because of precluding pleasure, that means rejection of sukha, rejection, it is saying that it is not sukha, it is dukkha, something like that. And since no one has any power over arisen formations in the three instances, let them not reach presence, let those that have reached presence not age, and let those that have reached aging not dissolve, and they are void of the possibility of any power being exercised over them, they are therefore not self, because of void, because of ownerless, because unsusceptible to the wielding of power, and because of precluding itself. This is the four reasons for being anatta. Now, the first one is what? Void. Because it is void, because ownerless. Ownerless really means lordless. No overlord. The Pali word samika has two meanings. An owner of a property or a lord. So I think it's better to say lord here than owner. So there is no overlord. And because unsusceptible to the wielding of power. Now this is also one of the explanations given with regard to the word anatta. So we met one explanation before what?
No core.
So that is one explanation. Another explanation is we cannot exercise any power over it. It is not susceptible to wielding power over it. So that is another meaning of anatta. Things happen as they like and we have no power over them. That is the meaning. And because of precluding itself, that means rejecting self. in the footnote, oh, let me see. On the previous page, I mean page 720, last line. And since no one has any power over formations, not arisen, just formations in the three instances, let them not reach presence. Actually, it is let the formations that have arisen not reach presence, something like that. Let those that have reached presence not age, and let those that have reached aging not dissolve, and so on. Something like, I want to be young, always young, so I don't want to be 60 years of age, 70 years of age, but I have no power over myself. I will go on aging day by day. So there is no possibility of exercising power over it. So in the footnote, no one, not even the Blessed One, has such mastery. For it is impossible for anyone to alter the three characteristics. So please rub up three, just the characteristics, not three. The province of supernormal power is simply the alteration of a state. Now, what it means is, even Buddha cannot change the characteristic of something. Now, mind has the characteristic of bending towards object, right? Even Buddha cannot change that characteristic of mind. If it is mind, it will always have this characteristic. Then what about when somebody perform supernormal power and do something which is not usual or real, then it is the alteration of a state and not the alteration of a characteristic. That means he may make himself, say, many persons, or he may create likenesses of himself or something like that. So the alteration or the change of a state can be done by supernormal power, but the change of characteristic cannot be done by any power or any person at all. So not even the Blessed One has such mastery. That means it has a characteristic of aging. Then Buddha cannot make this aging not age, not get old, or something like that. And then because of precluding itself means because of precluding the self conceived by those outside the dispensation, by those who other than the Buddhists. For the non-existence in dhammas of any self as conceived by outsiders is stated by the words because, void, etc. So please add etc. there. Because, void, etc. So there are, say, void, ownerless, susceptible to the wielding of power. But by this expression, that means the last one, the precluding itself, by this expression it is stated that they are not self, not there is no self, they are not self, because they have no such nature. So the word anatta here has two meanings. There is no other in them, that is one meaning, right? Let's say, when we say rupa is anatta, that means there is no other in rupa. That is one meaning. And the other meaning is rupa is not anatta. There is no other in it. That is one thing, one meaning. The other meaning is it is not anatta. So the translation should be, but by this expression it is stated that they are not self, because they have no such nature.
OK.
Okay, then the other ones. Having attributed the three characteristics to materiality, allotted 100 years for the taking up and putting down thus, he next attributes them according to disappearance of what grows old in each stage. Herein, disappearance of what grows old in each stage is a name for the disappearance of the materiality that has grown old during a stage of life. The meaning is that he attributes the three characteristics by means of that. So he tries to see all of them as impermanent, as painful, and as no self. Now, the first one is dividing 100 years of life into three stages. So the first is 33 years, the second 34 years, and the third 33 years. So the second is 34, not 33. And then the yogi tries to see the impermanence and others of materiality in these three stages. So the materiality occurring in the first stage ceased there without reaching the middle stage. Therefore, it is impermanent. What is impermanent is painful, what is painful is not self. Also, the materiality occurring in the middle age ceased there without reaching the last stage. Therefore, it too is impermanent. Not it is impermanent too. It too is impermanent, painful, and not self. Also, there is no materiality occurring in the 33 years of the last stage that is capable of outlasting death. Therefore, that too is impermanent, painful, and not self. So, he comprehends in that way. So, dividing, the lifespan of human beings are said to be, or taken to be 100 years. That is why 100 years are divided into three groups here. And then, a little more subtle, by dividing 100 years into 10 stages, paragraph 50. The 10 stages are what? The tender decade, the sport decade, the beauty decade, the strength decade, the understanding decade, the decline decade, the stooping decade, the bent decade, the dotage decade, and the prone decade. So you can find out in which decade you are in. So there, the word prone, I think, what is the meaning of the word prone?
Lying down.
Lying down, face downward or face upward? Or just lying down?
Just lying
down.
Huh? Just lying down.
Just lying down. Then it's all right. But when you get older, when you are more than 90 years old, you want to be in bed all the time. So it's called prone decade. So the materiality from one decade does not go to another decade and so on. That is how the yogi comprehends. And then, what is dotage? Becoming like a child?
Yeah. Well, when you get very old, I think.
Yeah.
Decrepit.
Yeah. Here it means it may include that one, but the body word here is momoha. That means deluded state or something. Forget what he has done and so on.
Dotage is sort of your mental functioning becomes weaker and weaker, so that you sleep. Fall asleep.
Oh. Very
much like that.
Then, I think that's all right. And then next, 53. Now dividing into five, right? The same 100 years into 20 parts of 5 years. So, materiality in the first 5 years cease there and do not reach to the second 5 years and so on. So this is groups of 5 years. And then next, paragraph 55, how many years? 4 years. So 25 parts. Dividing 100 into 20 parts, 25 parts, and then 33 parts, 3 years each, and then 50 parts, 2 years each, and then taking 1 year each. So it goes smaller and smaller. And then he reviewed according to the three seasons, right? The materiality occurring in the 4 months of the rain ceases there without reaching the winter and so on. Now, in India there are said to be three seasons, also in other Asian countries. Rainy season, winter and summer. So we have three seasons and not four like in the West. All there are six seasons. So paragraph 57 describe these six seasons. Rains, autumn, winter, cool, spring, and summer. That means 2 months of each. So materiality from at one season ceases there and does not reach to the next season and so on. And then next, dividing a month into two parts, right? Bright half and dark half. Paragraph 58. And then next, paragraph 59, dividing the day into night and day, the 24-hour day into night and day. And then 60, dividing a day into six parts. What's that? Morning, noon, evening, first watch of the night, middle watch of the night, and last watch of the night. And then attributing the three characteristics to that same materiality by means of moving forward and moving backward and looking forward and looking away, bending and stretching thus. These words are mentioned in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. In the section on clear comprehension. So the materiality occurring in the moving forward ceases there without reaching the moving backward and so on. And then the next paragraph, 62, deals with six stages in one step. Now, I didn't ask you to be mindful of six stages in one step because it's too many. But here six stages are mentioned. So lifting up, shifting forward, shifting sideways, lowering down, placing down, and fixing down. So six stages. So lifting up is raising the foot from the ground. Shifting forward is shifting it to the front. That means moving it to the front. Shifting sideways is moving the foot to one side or the other on seeing a thorn, stump, snake, and so on. It may not happen at every step, maybe. Then lowering down is letting the foot down. Placing down is putting the foot on the ground. Fixing down is pressing the foot on the ground while the other foot is being lifted up. So when you want to lift the other foot, then you press the one foot more firmly on the ground. So that is called fixing down. So these six stages. So in the lifting up, two elements, the earth element and the water element, are subordinate and sluggish, while the other two are predominant and strong. Now, among the elements, water element and earth element are said to be heavy. And fire element and wind element are said to be light. So when you move upward, then the earth element is sluggish, not predominant at that time. But the wind element and fire element are predominant. So when you put down, then the earth element is predominant, but not the fire element. like that. So likewise in the shifting forward and shifting sideways. In the lowering down, two elements, the fire element and the air element, are subordinate and sluggish, while the other two are predominant and strong. Likewise the blazing down and fixing down. He attributes the three characteristics to materiality according to disappearance of what grows old in each stage by means of the six parts into which he thus divided it. So materiality in one stage ceases there and it does not reach to the second stage and so on. So he tries to see, or here he tries to attribute the three characteristics to all these material properties. So when he sees formation stage by stage with insight that his comprehension of materiality has become subtle. Here is a simile for its subtlety. And then a simile is given, and the application of the simile to the actual experience is explained in paragraph 67. And then materiality arising from nutriment, arising from temperature and karma bond and consciousness originated are explained. So in whatever way a yogi contemplates, he contemplates on the impermanence, suffering and no-self nature of these things. So he tries to see them as impermanent, as suffering and as no-self. So in many different ways a yogi may see these during the practice of meditation. But actually, these are not direct seeing. These are all inferential vipassana. And maybe a little, what do you call, a little thinking or something like that. That is why Mahasi Siyaro did not encourage this kind of practice. So just do it for a while. No, don't spend much time with this type of observing or viewing different mental and physical phenomena and attributing the three characteristics to them, because this is something like a distraction. Because when you are trying to see the impermanent nature and so on, you are not really practicing mindfulness. You have gone into something like speculating or thinking. So it will take your mind away from the real object of meditation, and so it is not encouraged. And also a yogi cannot go through all these methods mentioned in this book, because a yogi must have a good knowledge of Abhidhamma in order to go through all these. And even though he has knowledge of Abhidhamma, he will not see all of them during his practice of meditation, because some can be seen only by the Buddha and persons of very high intellectual nature. So during practice of vipassana, if you do not experience all these, don't bother. But it is a book, and so it has to explain everything possible during the practice in detail. So in brief, it is just applying the three characteristics to everything we observe, everything that we take as an object of meditation. So when he discerns consciousness originated materiality and attributes the three characteristics to it in this way, this meaning becomes evident to him. And the verse on page 727, life, person, pleasure, pain, just these alone join in one conscious moment that flicks by. The Pali here really means they are associated with one consciousness. So join in one consciousness means they are associated with only one moment of consciousness. And that moment is very brief. Gods, though they live for 480,000 eons, are not the same for two such moments. Here also, the original Pali means these gods do not exist, they are associated with two consciousnesses at a time. That means however long they live for one moment, say one moment at a time. They cannot live for two moments at a time. That is what is meant here. Not that they are not the same for two such moments, but they do not exist with two moments of consciousness. So only one moment. Ceased aggregates of those dead or alive are all alike, gone never to return. And those that break up meanwhile and future have traits no different from those ceased before. So they have the same characteristics, the same nature of impermanence and so on. No world is born if consciousness is not produced. Actually, no world is born with consciousness which is not produced. When there is no consciousness, there is no world living or something like that. When that is present, then it lives. So the world lives with the present consciousness. When consciousness dissolves, the world is dead. The higher sense this concept will allow. Now, when consciousness dissolves, the world is dead means we are dying at every moment. There is death at every moment because our consciousness are very brief, the moments of consciousness are very brief, and so at every dissolution of a moment of consciousness we die. So we are always dying, although we say we are living. He lives, a man lives, a woman lives, I live, you live, but in fact we are always dying with the dissolution of each brief moment of consciousness. So when consciousness dissolves, the world is dead. The higher sense this concept will allow. You know the meaning of that? So, as he said in the footnote, the PM means the sub-commentary. Sub-commentary and the Singhalese translation have been taken as guides in rendering this rather difficult verse. Yeah, it is difficult. Now, here, the higher sense this concept will allow means just when we say he lives, I live, and so on, it is just for convenience in speaking that we say I live, you live, he lives, and so on. So, the real ultimate truth is that we are dying every moment. But when we say I live, he lives, we are taking that as though it is ultimate truth, but actually it is not. So, although it is not ultimate truth, it is like ultimate truth. So that is what it's, that sense, the higher sense means that the ultimate truth. So when we say, when we use the expression he lives, or I live, or you live, that is, we are talking on a conventional level. But we take that conventional level to be a real truth. Actually, it is not. No store of broken states, no future stock. So there are no states in the past stored and no future stock. Those born balanced like seeds on needle points. So a seed put on a needle point immediately falls. Break up of states is foredoomed at their birth. Those present decay and mingled with those past. They come from nowhere, break up, nowhere go. Flash in and out as lightning in the sky. Everything just arises and disappears. so they do not last long. Having attributed the three characteristics to that arising from nutriment, etc., he again attributes the three characteristics to natural materiality. And natural materiality here means what? Outside things. Materiality that is not bound up with faculties, and that is not bound up with faculties means that do not belong to living beings, and arises along with the eon of world expansion. You know that? The eon of world expansion. Do you remember the beginning of the world and the dissolution of the world cycle?
Yeah.
So there are four periods in the world. So the eon of world expansion means the beginning, the formation stage of the world. See, the world disintegrates and then stays in that stage for another period, and then there is the arising period. And so that period is called here eon of world expansion. That means from the beginning of the world. And they are what? Or you can go back to 13th chapter, paragraph 28. And you see there that the four, not in this book. 13th chapter is in the first volume. So they are outside things like iron, copper, tin, lead, gold, silver, pearl, gem, and so on. That becomes evident to him by means of an Ashoka tree shoot. For that to begin with is pale pink, and then in two or three days it becomes dense red, and so on. So from one stage to another, nothing is carried over, or nothing reaches to another stage. So at the very stage of becoming, it dissolves. So after it has become the color of dark green leaves, as it follows out the successive stages of such material continuity, it eventually becomes withered foliage, and at the end of the year it breaks loose from its stem and falls off. Discerning that, he attributes the three characteristics to it thus. The materiality occurring when it is pale pink ceases there without reaching the time when it is dense red, and so on. So this is how the yogi comprehends the formations by attributing the three characteristics to them by means of the material sector. So in seven different ways, he views the matter or material property as impermanent and so on. In the Pali, the word used for, say, attributing is putting on. So, to see the individual characteristics is a real thing. And to see the impermanent and so on is something we put on the characteristics. I mean, we put on the dhammas. So that is why they're putting on, it's said in the books. So here it is translated as attributed. On page 719, there is one footnote. When the generation of materiality is seen, its dissolution also is seen. And so he said, one who sees the generation of materiality thus is said to comprehend the materiality at one time, because of the brevity of state's occurrence. Now, that phrase should go after seen, at the end of the first line. When the generation of materiality is seen, its dissolution is also seen because of the brevity of state's occurrence. Because they arise and disappear so rapidly. When you see the arising, you you will not fail to see the dissolution also, because they are so brief. For it is not the seeing of mere generation that is called comprehension, but there must be seeing of the rise and fall besides. So too the apprehending of generation in other instances. So seeing of mere generation, mere arising, is not called comprehension here. So in order to be called comprehension, it must see both arising and disappearing, or rise and fall.